Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. We've been studying perfection through Christ. And our last meeting, we studied sonship. So I thought maybe I would back up just a little bit and take off in another direction just slightly. It's still concerning perfection through Christ. You know, God's got so many ways of saying things in the Bible. That's so that some of us who are pretty dense can figure one of them out, you know, by the grace of God. So I want to back up a little bit to what we said in the last meeting about receiving this sonship by faith. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and 26, for we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. You're all sons of God through faith. Through faith. Faith is imputed or accounted as righteousness. We discovered in our last meeting that we start out as children of God. The term used in the Bible, technons. And of course, technon just is very basic. It points to a birth. You know, not really any relationship, just a birth. But huios, the word for son, according to Vines, points to the quality and character of a relationship with the Father, right? So we begin our life as children who are sons by faith. And the Bible says that we come into the manifestation of sonship. He that diligently bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. We are here to manifest our sonship, which is Christ in us, right? And we noticed in verse chapter 4, he says, verse 6, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Again, he's speaking that we are sons of God through faith. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. And God sent the Spirit of His Son into us in order to bring us to this term adoption, right? Adoption of sons. The word adoption, by the way, is not adoption of children. The word adoption is huios thesis, and it means son placing. So you don't adopt children according to the term adoption. You adopt sons. We start out as children. The Bible says, now are we the technon of God. Should never be translated son, because the word technon is children. And it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. You see? And it's true that we haven't yet come to the place that God calls us the manifest sons. Okay? So, let's look in Romans 8 again. I read a little portion of it. I want to read some more. Notice that God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts in order to bring us to adoption. See? Now, what is the Spirit of the Son? Well, let me point something out to you. Romans 8, verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's two. Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. He even puts a but in there so that you will know he's talking about two different things. Not everyone has the Spirit of God. but everyone who's born again has the Spirit of Christ. Now, Jesus told his disciples, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Well, since those words came out of him, what were they creating? They were creating his spirit in his disciples. And he told his disciples, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. What did that mean? It meant they had a new spirit because Jesus spoke those words into them and his spirit was recreated in them. You know, the Spirit of Christ is the born again spirit. Now, what is this? This is the Spirit of the Son, which is to bring us to adoption. Of what? Sons. Sons. Sons are adopted, you see. The Spirit of Christ is the first thing that you receive. What you need then is the soul of Christ. And then ultimately, a body like unto his body. A born-again spirit, a born-again soul, and a born-again body. This is the three stages of this adoption. Okay? Notice, but if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But, here it is again, he's switching back. But, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now he's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, you don't necessarily receive the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that happens afterwards, you see. But you do get the Spirit of Christ because you believe the Word of God. And you accept that he died for you and gave you his life. So these are the two stages that every Christian ought to go through. Receiving the Spirit of Christ, the born-again Spirit, and receiving the Holy Spirit. That was commanded today. Most Christians don't do that, but that's just rebellion against the Word of God. There needs to be repentance. You need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit will empower you to walk in the steps of Jesus. You need a born-again human spirit, as Jesus was both human and divine, he had a born-again spirit. You need that for the communication and for the access to the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in the Holy of Holies, which is your born-again spirit. He comes to rule in your Holy of Holies, you see. So, you who are born again need to invite the Holy Spirit to come with all the signs and the wonders that the Bible talks about. That's part of it. See, and he will give you power, the Bible says, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. So I want to jump on down now and look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, many people are led by their mind. Most Christians are led by their mind. They don't even hear the voice of the Spirit. They don't even think it possible to hear the voice of the Spirit. But God gives us first the Spirit of Christ and then the Holy Spirit so that we can hear his voice and follow him whithersoever he goeth. That's the whole plan, folks. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. That's huiothesia, right? Son placing. Okay. We're coming to that place. Okay, God manifests his perfection in us, spirit, and then soul. And then ultimately, if you've borne fruit in the soul, you will receive a new body like unto his body. Okay? So, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption, son placing. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So even after you have the spirit of adoption, which he said in Galatians chapter 4 was the spirit of his son, the spirit of Jesus Christ, okay, even after you have that, you are a son of God by faith, because faith is accounted as righteousness, and we receive the end from the beginning, and we call the things that be not as though they were, and by one offering we have been perfected forever. See? So, since we accept the fullness of Christ at the very beginning by faith, and we're accounted righteous because of that, We are walking from the place of being children of God to the place of being sons of God. Now, if you want to know what a son of God is, you have to look at Jesus. That's what a son of God is. And Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So Christ is coming to live in us. First spirit, then secondly soul, which is your nature and your character, you know, so on and so forth. And then ultimately we will have a body like his body. Glorious time. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, technons of God, right? Technons of God. And we just saw that by faith we are sons. By faith we're sons, okay? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Now, if we're joint heirs with Christ of his glory, which we are, glory is just another way of saying, as we're going to see tonight, another way of saying Christ in you. It's another way of talking about perfection. The glory is the shining forth from you of the life of Christ. That's what it is, okay? And it says that we may be glorified with him. We're joint heirs with Christ. We've received the spirit of adoption. We are manifestly children, but we're seeking this glory of God to come and dwell in us, you see. And, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice it says, if so be that we suffer with him. See, part of this is knowledge, because you have to exercise faith, right? Part of this is cooperation and giving up of our old life in order to gain our new life. Both of these are necessary for sonship. Both of these are necessary to have the glory of God in you, okay? We're told in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. So as the carnal man is dying off, the spiritual man is coming to life. You know, as we manifest our death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 17, for our light affliction, notice he calls it a light affliction, our light affliction, which is for the moment, meaning this very short time that we have to go through to be perfected, right? Worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Remember that word glory. We want to talk about this tonight. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What does that mean? Well, we call the things that be not as though they were. That's what God has taught us to do. That's what faith is. You claim to be a son of God? Well, do you know what a son of God is? Son of God is Jesus Christ. Yes. But the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to hold fast to and believe and see the things that be not as though they were. Okay? And he says that while we're doing this, while we're walking by faith, and while we're giving up our life, this is working for us a more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. Back where we were in Romans chapter 8, he says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. The manifestation of our sonship is being glorified with him. Now, some people say this glory is only received in the next life. But we're going to see tonight, and if you don't get it in this life, you'll never see it in the next life. Here is where God's people are glorified. Okay? Watch. As we go on, we're going to see this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. The suffering is not even comparable to the new life that we receive, this new glory that we receive by going through this suffering, which is what we just read back up in verse 17. Okay? We don't enter into this new life with glory. I mean, chapter 3 tells us, for verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation for propitiation through faith in His blood to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime. So you see, we don't start into this with the glory of God. We accept it by faith. We're justified freely because of that faith in what was given to us at the cross, which was the life of Jesus Christ. We were crucified with Him, and we were given His life. There was an exchange made. Our old life was put upon that cross. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. There was an exchange. I gave Him my life. He gave me His life. Okay, and we accept that by faith. Now, God says faith is accounted as righteousness. So, we are imputed as sons of God through our faith. But the great thing is, if you walk by faith, you're always going to receive the manifestation of what you're believing. If you're just walking by mental assent in religion, it doesn't get you much. But if you walk by faith in the gospel, guess what? God's going to fulfill it in you. He's going to manifest His Son in you. But you got to be believing what the book says, not what the religions say. Okay? So hold strong here, folks. Let's go back to Romans 8 once more. And I'll make a couple more points here. This is a progressive thing. A progressive thing. You don't get anything instantaneous in the kingdom except by faith. By faith, you accept everything as instantaneous. You know, by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He perfected us at the cross. We accept the whole free gift of sonship, of the life of God, of the purity, of the holiness, of the total redemption that He has given to us. A good example, I think, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll go back to Romans 8 in a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation." Notice He's talking to people who need to be saved. You say, "But I thought we were saved." We're saved by faith. And faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Saved is Jesus Christ, folks. He's saved. He's not under the curse. And we are in Christ through our faith. And we are imputed as righteous because we believe that He took away our sins. We don't have them anymore. That's the way faith works. We don't have them anymore. So now He says, He chose us from the beginning unto salvation. Us, Christians. He's talking to Christians in 2 Thessalonians. He says, unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit. That means the sanctification of your life by the Spirit of God, and belief of the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is part of God's plan. Without it, you have nothing to have faith in. There's no way that the Holy Spirit can bring to pass your benefits in Christ because you don't believe. And you don't believe because you don't know. So it's very important that you read the Word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 14. Whereunto He called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours. Listen, it's very important that you get in the Word of God and find out what is yours. Don't trust in any preacher to tell you that. You find out for yourself. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Why? Because you can miss it. That's why He says that. Okay? But notice, whereunto He called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to Christians. He wants you to manifest sanctification. Manifest the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at this glory and see what it is and where it comes from. Okay? So if you follow with me a little bit. We need to obtain this glory. This glory is kingdom glory. The people who walk in the kingdom walk in this glory. We all may be walking into it in a certain percentage, you see. But he wants us to fully manifest that glory. Okay, 30, 60, and 100-fold, Jesus said. He offers 100-fold. Okay, and we need to believe him and take him at his word. Can we go back to Romans chapter 8 again? And let me read just a couple more things here. Notice, he says, not worthy to be compared, verse 18, with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, I know some people would like to put that way off in the by and by so they can live any way they want to live down here. But if you're not manifesting fruit, Jesus said you weren't going to be there. And what is fruit? Jesus Christ. It's also his glory manifested in you, you see. The whole creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Oh, up in heaven? Uh-uh. Down here. A lot of good it'll do us up there, folks. Down here is where we need the glory of God. Jesus walked in the glory of God. They that sat in darkness saw great light, the Bible says, when Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he set the captives free, and he opened the prison to them that were bound, and he healed the sick, and he cast out demons, and go on and on. And he was the body of Christ. And he left in order to come back in the body of Christ so he could touch the whole world. You see, the glory of God is needed now, and it's needed here. And this is what this is talking about. The manifestation of sons is talking about manifesting sonship down here in spirit and in soul. Now, when you looked at Jesus' body, did you know that that was the Son of Man? But the one who dwelt in that was the Son of God. He was both Son of Man, Son of God. He was declared, Romans 1 and 3, he was of the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. See, Jesus was made like unto his brethren in all things. So, the whole creation is waiting. Why? Because the creation itself fell under the curse. Because man fell under the curse. Only when man comes out from under the curse is the creation delivered. When Jesus came, he was one who lived out from under the curse. And guess what he did? He set the creation free all around him. Okay, verse 20. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it. God subjected us to vanity, folks. This is how sons are created, is being subject to vanity and choosing the good and understanding grace, because unless you've been a sinner, you can't understand grace. Even the angels don't understand grace. They desire to look into these things, you see. We're fallen, and we appreciate God very much because we've been fallen. We appreciate that he's lifting us up and he's setting our feet on the rock. We appreciate it. We love him. Who loves much, Jesus said? Him that's been forgiven of much or him that's been forgiven a little? Well, Simon said, well, I suppose it's him that's been forgiven of much. He said, you answered right. You know, sinners appreciate God. They love God. And so there was a reason for the creation to be subject to vanity. Okay? And you say, well, I don't believe that day. Well, that's okay. I don't mind if you don't believe that. You know, Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, why would we need a sacrifice slain from the foundation of the world before Adam sinned? You better stop and think about that, folks. You see, God knew all about everything that's happening now. We're still in plan A. There never has been a plan B. The lamb slain. And he chose us in him from before the foundation of the world. Uh-oh. He was a lamb slain for our sacrifice. He chose us to be in him from the foundation of the world. So God knew all about this. The fall, the failure, the revelation of grace, like you could never get it if you were a perfect being like an angel. They don't understand grace. They deserve everything they get. We don't deserve nothing. And he reaches down and picks us up. Oh, we learn to love God. The creation was subject to vanity for a purpose, folks. You said, you know, I better not get into that right now. It might take a while. Verse 21. The creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. This is the plan. fallen man gets saved. This is the plan. I appreciate it so much. They love God. Okay. 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, that is, son placing, waiting for the manifestation of our adoption. Do you know, folks, this manifestation is not going to be complete until you are totally of God, spirit, soul, and body. But there is a way that it's complete while you're on the earth, and that is in spirit and in soul. Okay. The ultimate fulfillment, of course, is the body, as he goes on to say here. To wit, the redemption of the body. We groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's the fullness of adoption. Okay. For in hope were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Folks, we do not see the manifestation of sonship, but we do hope and we do wait for it. And we do walk by faith for it, you see. Hope is a firm expectation. That's what the word hope means here. It's not hoping for something that you don't think will ever happen. It's hoping for something you believe is coming. It's a firm expectation of what's coming, you see. And we firmly expect, those of us who are going to walk in the glory of God, expect that God will keep His promise to us, that He will finish the good work He started in us, complete, perfect, as He said, as we've already studied. Okay. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which is one of my favorite chapters, I'd like to study that for a minute. First of all, he says, speaking about the Jews, in verse 14, he says, their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed to them that it is done away in Christ. There are many people today, Christians and Jews alike, that don't understand that the Old Covenant was done away in Christ. They have a veil on. Many Christians have a veil on because they're still under the law. They're either under the law of men or they're under the law of the old covenant. They don't understand. God made a new covenant. Okay. And if you go under the law, as we saw last time, you're a son of the handmaid, not a son of the free woman. Okay. So let's read on. Done away in Christ. But unto this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their heart. But whensoever it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, when you turn to the Lord, folks, the blindness that the devil puts upon all of mankind is broken from you. See? And even as a Christian, you turn to the Lord, God will break the veil off of you. No matter what kind of legalism or following your own mind you're under, God will break that off of you and you'll be able to follow the Spirit of God. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from the law. Freedom from, you know, you naturally fulfill the law, you see. Verse 18. But we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Notice what we are looking at. You say, we're looking at Jesus. That's right. You're looking at Him by faith because we no longer live. Christ lives in us. So in the mirror, we see Jesus by faith. So that God will take that faith, which is the substance of the thing hoped for, and bring it to pass. We're giving Him the substance. We believe that we no longer live. Christ lives in us. Well, notice, He also calls it the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. We're going to discover what this glory is. The glory of, and that it's in this life that you get this glory, okay? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into the same image. Where? Here. From glory to glory. Even as from the Lord the Spirit. As we accept that we no longer live, that the one that looks in this mirror is now Jesus Christ. He now lives in you. We're changed from glory to glory. Even as from the Lord the Spirit. Glory to glory. What glory is he talking about? Well, I've shared some time back that the three glories that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 are a star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. And I'm not going to study that right now. We'll study it later. But there's three bodies, three heavenly bodies that God offers to his saints. He calls them star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. We start out as a star glory because we have self-righteousness. The glory that comes forth from stars separates them. They're different. They're distinct from one another, you see. That's the first stage of Christian growth. We have our own glory, self-righteousness. The second stage of Christian growth is moon glory, because the moon is one. The Bible says we become united with him. If we become united with him in the likeness of his death, the moon is dead. It's one and it's dead. We shall also be of the resurrection, which is sun glory. We're going from our own righteousness through death to self and resurrection life of Christ in us. Those are the three stages. We grow into his glory from glory to glory. That's from the Lord to Spirit. And notice that glory is that brilliance that shines forth from us, whether star glory, moon glory, or sun glory. It is that light that shines forth from us, the light of Christ's life. It's the, notice, the glory of the Lord. They saw a great light in the shadow of death, didn't they? Yes, and it was Jesus. And they will see that again on this earth, folks, very soon, because God's planning on lighting that light again. Glory be to God. And I'd like to read on down in verse chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that," literally it says, "are perishing." If you don't have the revelation of Christ in you, you are perishing. Okay, this revelation of Christ coming to life in you is the same Jesus that walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. Not another Jesus, not a weak and worthless Jesus that sits up on the cloud, does nothing for anybody, doesn't heal the sick anymore, doesn't cast out devils anymore, No, this is the real Jesus, folks. This is the glory that God is resurrecting in his people in these days. Okay, and he says in verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." Notice, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. This glory of Christ is a light. Not in the physical world, in the spiritual world. It's a light. It shines forth, right? "Who is the image of God should not dawn upon them." The devil doesn't want the manifestation of Christ in you. Sonship. The glory of the Son manifested in you. The Spirit of Christ has been given to you in order to take you over. Spirit, soul, and body, you see. And to finish this work. He is the Spirit of adoption. He will bring you to adoption should you cooperate with him in this process. He will bring you to the adoption of sons. Not children, sons. Okay? And notice, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon you. The devil doesn't mind you being a lukewarm Christian because he's got you anyway. You see? Because you probably won't bear fruit. And many are called, but few are chosen. We've already studied that. We noticed that called is only talking about God's people, invited to partake of the benefits of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. You have to bear fruit, the 30, 60, and 100 fold, according to Jesus himself. That's the three glories, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Okay? That's again, he goes on to say, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake," for Jesus' sake. "Seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness." So notice, what is this? This is the light of the glory of Jesus Christ right here. Light shall shine out of darkness. This is a spiritual light that's in you. Some people get to see this. God opens their eyes to see this light. I've seen people that have seen it. I've seen people that have seen it on me. They've told me so. And other Christians too, who walk in the light of God. There is a light there in the spirit realm. Sometimes God can open your eyes to see that. the light shall shine out of darkness. That is the light of the glory of God manifesting in your old life, your soul, that outer man that's decaying day by day, so that the inner man may be renewed. It's like that old husk has to be broken so that the light on the inside can shine out, right? The light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Only those that look in the mirror and see Jesus will come to this glory. In other words, only those that accept that His righteousness is now yours, that you don't live any longer. You're not looking at your natural face in the mirror anymore. You're accepting that now Jesus lives in you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's not something you can do. It's something you can believe God to do. And He will do it. It's His work, as we've already seen. And we're told, for instance, that God Himself is the Father of glory. And that is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He's the Father of Jesus, and He's the Father of glory. Why? Because Jesus is the glory, and Christ in you is the glory, right? He is the Father of glory. May give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Good prayer. Hang on to that one right there, because He can do it. He'll do anything that you need to give to you this gift. But first we need a revelation that what God has given unto us. That's why we study this, to have that wisdom of knowledge, you know. So, the Father is the Father of glory. He's the Father of the Son. He's the Father of sonship. He's the Father of the spiritual man in you, which is the glory of the Son. Right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Colossians 1 and 27. And, in fact, I might just go over there and read that. To whom God was pleased to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, this mystery of the glory among the Gentiles. The glory of Jesus Christ is coming to be manifested. That is, sonship being manifested in His people. And, of course, it's progressive, but we receive it by faith. Okay? Let's see. Back where we were in 2 Corinthians, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure what? Of the glory of God. It just needs to continue to grow in us, right? And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Well, we have this treasure of the Word being manifested in God's people. Did you know that that Word is also that light that shines out of darkness? Right? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 speaks of this. Let me read it to you. 19, excuse me. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure. We know that to be the Word of God. We have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. This shining forth of the light, right? The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, the Bible says. This lamp shining in a dark place. The dark place is your old man that's keeping this hidden. He must be broken so that the light can come forth, right? As unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star was an archaic word that was used for the sun. Arise in your heart, till the sun arises in your heart. The light is shining in this dark place until the day dawn and the sun arises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of God, of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. So, we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's the Word of God, right? All prophecy, all the Word of God is prophecy, and it's powerful to come to pass, should we believe it. And we have to hold diligently to it to believe it. So we're seeing that the Father is the Father of glory, and that the Word, which is also Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Father, is also that glory. And let's see. Let's read on down here again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we have this treasure of the Word, of the Son, of the glory in us by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of adoption that brings us to the adoption of sons. See, the Spirit of the Son is to take us over, just as the devil seeks to take us over. The Spirit of the Son seeks to take us over and bring forth His glory in us. And it tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the exceeding greatness of the power is of God, not of ourselves. Meaning, of course, we have a weak vessel that's not able to walk in the glory of God. But the power that's of God is that Spirit that dwells in us. Okay. And he goes on to say in verse 8, we are pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus. Now we're seeing that it is the life. The glory of Jesus is the life of Jesus, right? It is the Word of God, and it is of the Father, born of the Father, right? That the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Not the next body, this body. This is God's plan. Now, where do you get the glory? You get it here, by looking in the mirror now, with an unveiled face now. Okay, and he goes on, well, by the way, the word manifested in our body here means to cause to shine, to make visible. Where? In our body. Cause to shine, make visible in our body. That's what the word manifestation is, phaneru. Phaneru means that. See? So, the very word manifestation is talking about the shining of the glory inside you. Okay. Wow. The life also of Jesus may be manifested, caused to shine, to be visible in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. So that the life also of Jesus, there it is again, the life of what? The life of that glory that lives in us. The life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Again, the word here is phaneru, which means to cause to shine, to become visible. Manifested in our mortal flesh. The Son of God is coming in us, just as we've already studied about in perfection. The Son of God is being birthed in us, in this physical life. That's the manifestation of sonship in spirit and in soul. The person who has walked in the manifestation of sonship in spirit and in soul will ultimately have the manifestation of sonship in their body. That's the fullness of the adoption right there. See? So, that Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh, shining forth out of us. That's what the word actually means, shining forth. And, you know, Colossians chapter 3 is very similar to what's being said here. In verse 3, Colossians 3 and 3, it says, "For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Can you remember that? That you don't have a problem with sin anymore. You died. The old man died. You don't live anymore. The old sinner doesn't live anymore. You behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord now. That's the faith. You don't walk by sight because you won't manifest Christ if you do. You see your natural face in the mirror, and James says, you'll go away and forget what manner of man you were. A hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. That's what he said. James 1, 21, 22, 23. Okay. So here we see when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested. Christ is our life, folks. The very life inside of us is Christ growing in us. Just like to Mary. You know, he said, "He that doeth the will of my Father is my mother." Every one of us is pregnant with Jesus Christ. Okay? When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, shall cause to shine, become visible, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. Notice that, manifested in glory. As Christ himself, who is our life, is manifested in us, the glory is manifested in us. You know why? Because he is the glory. And the Father is the Father of glory. And everything that's born of the Father is glory. So now you see the glory that is shining forth from, manifested, shining forth from us. This glory of the star, moon, and ultimately sun glory is shining forth from God's people. And I especially like 1 John chapter 3. Turn up from there just for a minute or two. But I'm going to go back. Let's see. I'm going to go back to 1 John 28, 2 and 28. Okay. And now, my little children, notice he calls us manifestly children, because that's what we are until we manifest his sonship. And now, my little children, abide in him. What is it to abide in him? Well, he tells us in 24, if that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then shall you abide in the Son. What did we hear from the beginning? The truth is what we heard from the beginning. Not necessarily what we hear nowadays, but what we heard from the beginning. If this abides in you, you abide in the Son. And, by the way, 1 John 2, he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. How did he walk? He walked to his cross, for one thing. He walked in righteousness, for another thing. He walked by faith, for another thing. Okay? So, he says, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested. There's the word again, phaneru. But the word is if, not when. Some versions say when. But none of the ancient manuscripts say when here. Okay? No ancient manuscripts say that. The numerics doesn't say that. It says if. Because it's not talking about the physical coming of the Lord. It's talking about his coming in you. Watch carefully. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, phaneru, caused to shine, to become visible in you. See? That if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What's going to cause you not to be ashamed before Christ? Except him living in you. Now, when he shall appear does not reflect anything here, folks. That's wrong. Just totally wrong. The word there is manifested just like it is everywhere else. It's talking phaneru, caused to shine. Okay? And the second word here, at his coming, that's the physical coming of Christ. The first one is his coming in you. The second one is his second coming. Okay? So, now it makes sense. If you see when he shall appear and coming, then you see him coming twice there in the same verse. It hasn't got anything to do with that. It has to do with him coming in you and then coming for you. See? The parousia, the second word here, at his coming, the parousia, he's coming for the ones in whom he is phaneru. He has become manifest. They have manifested 30, 60, or 100-fold of their sonship and of the glory of God. See, that's what it's talking about. Oh, it's awesome. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is begotten of him. See, that one in you that's coming forth that doeth righteousness, that one is born of him. You understand? Verse 2, chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the children, technon, not sons, children. Now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest, phaneru. It's not yet fully manifest, shining forth from you. That glory of God is not complete. Okay, that's what he's saying. What we shall be. But we know that if, again, it's if, not when. It has nothing to do with the physical coming of Christ. That's a when. But his manifestation in you is an if. Okay. We know that if he shall be manifested, that means caused to shine, become visibly shining from you, right? We shall see him like, we shall be like him. For we shall see him like even as he is. We shall be like him. If it's shining forth from you, you're going to be like him. And you're going to see him as he is. Where? In the mirror. Manifestly this time. Not by faith. Manifestly. You see? Let me read that to you again. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. That's clearly what the book is saying, folks. If he is shining forth from you, you're going to be like him. And it's going to be because you see him even as he is. See, some people don't see the real Jesus in the mirror. And they've got no way to come into the image of the real Jesus because they're looking at a false Jesus that's been described for them by religion. Okay? Now, let me go to another couple of verses before we run out of time here. That was Phaneru. There's another word that's very close. In fact, it uses that word. It's called Epiphany. The Phane part is the same. It's still a shining forth, right? But Epiphania is to shine forth from. Shine forth from, see, or upon. Okay. And we know that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we got a word there that's, and here it is here. Listen to this. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all of them that have loved his epiphany. It's not talking about the coming of the Lord, folks. It's talking about his shining forth from you. Epiphania. Epiphania. He's coming for all those that have loved his epiphania, the shining forth from. Some people don't love that. That as much as they are Christians and as much as they like hanging out with Christians. And like I've said before, passing through a McDonald's don't make you a hamburger. You know, passing through a church don't make you Christ either. But the revelation of what the Lord's done for you and walking by faith as a true believer. Remember, when they went through the wilderness, folks, many fell in that wilderness, but some walked through there as true believers. They went into the promised land in their bodies. They never even died. Okay. So, wow. He is coming for those that have loved his manifestation in them, his shining forth of his glory in them. That's who Jesus is coming for. There's a lot of deception going on, folks. Let's see the verse again. This is in Titus and verse 11. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. In this present world. This is where God, this is the proving ground. This is where the fruit is born. So much delusion and deception, folks, that God is going to accept a people who have lived their life walking in the flesh. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay? That's a deception. That you can do anything you want and enter into God's kingdom. It is here that we are manifesting his glory, coming into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son, manifesting his sonship. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and appearing, that's the word epiphania, for the blessed hope and the epiphania, the shining forth from of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are you looking for that? The shining forth of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? That's our hope, folks. That's our hope. Hold fast to the Word of God. Find out what it says about you. Believe every word. God bless you. We'll do this again very soon. God bless you.
information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, sacred heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus.
Trust in